is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. The animals you choose, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roasted over a fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day for you to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses, for whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh day must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do not work at all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That's all you may do. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. In the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. For 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses. And anyone, whether foreigner or native born, who eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone there. Here ends the reading of this word, God's word. Over to Brad Jackson now, who will give us the message.
Thank you, Jimmy. So if you have a Bible or an app, keep that handy, as you'll be referring to a few texts as we go through, but it'll be on the screen as well for you. Well, to someone in the United States, the phrase "never forget" reminds them of the victims of the 2001 September 11 terrorist attacks. Closer to home in Australia, the phrase "we will remember them lest we forget" reminds us about the sacrifice made in war. And even closer to home, a funeral and its anniversaries remind us of the life of a loved one as it was lived. Throughout all these, what is being celebrated? It's not death that's being celebrated, but life. Life and its great acts of courage, sacrifice, and vitality. Similarly, in the book of Exodus, the Israelites are instituted with a celebration called the Passover. And this is not a celebration of death, but of deliverance from slavery, an act that the Israelites were never to forget. So as we look at Exodus chapters 7 through 13, we're going to remember the story so far and the story leading up to the Passover itself, and what the Passover was pointing forward to. So let's ask God for help as we read his word today. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless us with an understanding as we read your word, that you will send your Holy Spirit to continue to teach us and help keep any distractions away from us. Help us to focus on you and what you say through your word, the Bible. And it's in Jesus' name we give you this morning. Amen. Well, what's been happening so far in the story of Exodus? Well, God's chosen people, the Israelites, are enslaved by the Egyptians. They're in misery, crying out, suffering and oppressed. So God tells Moses to confront the king of Egypt and release the Israelites from their slavery. Well, Liam Neeson in the action thriller Taken is a former CIA agent who goes to extraordinary lengths to track down his kidnapped daughter. The film is famous or infamous for showing the extent by which he is willing to go to rescue his daughter, fighting his way through underground prostitution rings, torturing by electric shock, and infiltrating an underground sex slave auction where his daughter is being sold. He defeats everyone who is standing in between him before finally rescuing his daughter out of sex slavery. While this example shows a fictional human act of love, albeit violent, it captures the extent by which a father is willing to go to rescue his daughter. As a father loves a son or a daughter, so too is the love that God goes to rescue his people from slavery to the Egyptians. What follows from chapter 7 in Exodus is what the Bible publishers have commonly called the 10 plagues. However, while only some of these are directly called plagues, they're actually more collectively called signs and wonders. Consider Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. Well, these signs and wonders are the famous and familiar blood, frogs, gnats, flies, livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and death. And I would encourage you to read these in your own time. But why does God use 10 signs and wonders? Why not just the death of the firstborn plague at the end? Well, God answers this very question in Exodus chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth, but I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Well, like an athlete before a race, God is just stretching before he sprints. Like a weightlifter before a competition, God is just flexing his muscles before he lifts. And like a teenager in the warm-up round of Counter-Strike Global Offensive, God is just showing off his devastating skills with each weapon in the buy menu, from the Deagle to the AWP. The first 9 signs and wonders are a stretching, a flexing, and a warm-up to the 10th and final plague, the death of every firstborn in Egypt. So for the 10th and final plague, the death of every firstborn in Egypt, the Israelites were given the following instructions in Exodus chapter 12, verses 7, 22, and 23. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until the morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the doorframe and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Well, the blood was not painted because God didn't know who was inside. Otherwise, red paint would have done the job. Blood was painted because God did know who was inside. Guilty sinners deserving death and judgment. Therefore, something more serious was needed, a blood sacrifice, a substitute. Why blood? Well, blood is symbolic of life. The Israelites actually deserved the judgment of death just as much as Pharaoh and the Egyptians did. They couldn't say, I'm an Israelite, or I'm chosen by God. It'd be a little bit like having that NRMA membership card that goes on your car keys. You carry this card with you everywhere, don't you? Then that inevitable day comes when your car breaks down and you pull out that card and call the number. But the operator on the phone tells you, sorry, you're not actually a member. You haven't paid your membership fee. For the Israelites, they carry the card that says God's people, but they also needed to pay their membership fee. And their membership fee was having faith in God and trusting in the effectiveness of his word and doing what he has told them to do, which was the only thing that was going to save their firstborn from death. And in Exodus chapter 12, verses 28 to 30, the Israelites did just as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. Well, the Israelites did as God said, and they awoke to the sound of wailing, not from their own households, but from every Egyptian household. No Egyptian was spared, from Pharaoh to the prisoner, all the way down to the livestock. The Israelites were spared because they acted in faith. Well, the Passover is arguably the biggest event in the entirety of the whole Old Testament. It'd be celebrated with a 7-day feast, the sacrifice and eating of a year-old lamb or kid without defect, and that's kid meaning baby goat, not a human, eaten with family, inside the house, without breaking any of the bones of the animal. Finally, to commemorate the survival of the Israelites' firstborn, all future firstborn males, whether human or animal, would be dedicated to God. And this is something that they were to remember through the celebration of the Passover. So we read this in Exodus chapter 12, verses 26 and the first part of 27. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Well, the Passover is not a celebration of death, but remembering how God saved them from death. And because of the salvation of every firstborn of the Israelites, they were to dedicate all firstborns thereafter. We read the following in Exodus chapter 13, verses 14 to 16. You are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. In days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed the firstborn of both people and animals in Egypt. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand. Well, because the firstborn of every Israelite was spared by God, they were to dedicate every male firstborn to God, whether human or animal, with every human firstborn redeemed with a lamb. Just like the final plague of death in Egypt, the blood of a lamb was used as a substitute for a human. And this was done once per year in the first month, continuously, from birth to death, from generation to generation for hundreds of years. But fast forward 1500 years, we hear about something peculiar yet strikingly familiar to an Israelite's ear. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In Luke's account of Jesus' life, we read of Jesus celebrating the Passover with his followers. But Jesus adds something distinct and different. So we read this in Luke chapter 22, verses 17 to 20. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Can you see what is distinct and different about this Passover? Jesus' followers aren't just remembering the Exodus, they're remembering him. Jesus institutes something new, because just like the Passover and the Exodus, something awesome is about to take place. Soon afterwards, Jesus was betrayed and arrested, beaten and crucified on a Roman cross. Then after his death, we read in John's account, in John chapter 19, verses 31, 32, and 36, "Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled, 'Not one of his bones will be broken.'" Does any of this sound familiar? Well, Tim Chester, a renowned British pastor and author, says this: "Jesus is our Passover lamb. He was sacrificed as our substitute. We all deserve to die because of our rebellion against God, but Jesus has died in our place. His blood, as it were, daubed over our lives so that God will pass over us when he comes in judgment. Like Israel, we are redeemed from slavery and death, but not from slavery in Egypt, but slavery to sin and the penalty of death that our sin deserves. Finally, one of Jesus' closest followers, Peter, says this in 1 Peter 1:18 to 21. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Brothers and sisters, what Jesus has done for us calls us to be renewed in him. For the Israelites, they were not going to go back and live with the Egyptians under the rule of Pharaoh and worship in the Egyptian gods. In the same way, we don't go back to our old lives under the rule of sin and Satan and worship in the gods of this world. Approval, careers, qualifications, relationships, security, sex, success and wealth, but also that god of self, with its Facebook story likes, its Instagram followers, and its Steam achievements. This god of self with its obsession to continuously improve ourselves like we're a piece of software needing an update. This god of self with its career changes that attempt to prove our value, leave in a legacy for the sake of maximizing attendance at our own funerals. Brothers and sisters, what do we learn from the Passover? Well, in the same way that the sacrificial lamb was to have no bones broken, so too Jesus' bones were not broken. In the same way that blood was put on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses, so too Jesus' blood was shed on the cross. In the same way that the Israelites were ultimately rescued from slavery to the Egyptians, in Jesus we too are saved from our spiritual slavery to sin and death. In the same way that the Passover is arguably the biggest event in the entirety of the whole Old Testament, Jesus' death and resurrection is not only the biggest event of the New Testament, but of all of human history. Where the Israelites celebrated the Passover because they were saved from death, we celebrate the death of Jesus. And we are to continue celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus until he finally returns to judge the world. Brothers and sisters, as we have been rescued from our slavery to sin, not to return to that empty way of life with its short-term, narrow-focused earthly achievements. We have been redeemed by the Lamb of God, Jesus, through his precious blood. Jesus, our Passover Lamb, has redeemed us by substituting himself. It is through Jesus that we are set apart for a long-term, cross-focused, eternal relationship with him. Will you put your trust and hope in Jesus and live for him? Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask that you will convict us of our sins, and we thank you so much that you have passed over us in judgment through Jesus and his death on the cross. Please help us to live lives worthy of you in light of this, Lord. And we give you our hearts and our souls and our minds and all of us, everything that we are, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Over to you, Grace.
Thank you, Brett.